Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/realghost for your free audiobook download of your choice. Audible has over 150,000 titles to choose from. That's a lot of choices right there. Every genre, including ghosts, paranormal, supernatural, horror, and so much more. Audible has you covered. audiblepodcast.com/realghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's show, a play date becomes sinister when a favorite stuffed animal is sacrificed.
It is.
I love that headline. That is like one of my favorite I think we've ever had. After hearing the sounds of complete destruction in the next room, a listener finds that absolutely everything is untouched. A man is witness to his best friend's suicide, but finds himself having nightly conversations with him afterwards. And would you stay in a haunted apartment if it was literally the last apartment available in your city? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
How do you sacrifice a stuffed animal?
It's a good story, and you'll see.
I'm excited about this. I was really upset when I was an adult finding out that some of my stuffed animals, I have a couple that have survived.
Uh-huh.
I had quite a few that were just stored in the attic and in like garbage bags and such. And the mice got to them.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
They were sacrificed.
Yeah.
For the mice. I hate those mice. I put a curse on all their mice families after that. I'm excited to hear the story. Of course, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like the show, please consider keeping us on the air. Be a nice little touch to the show. You enjoy hearing us, continuing to hear us, sign up to be an EPP on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all those bonus episodes of our show, bonus video content, and a lot more exciting stuff coming to the EPP program as we begin to expand that into its own website of itself, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You'll get to see Jenny on camera.
I will have to wear something other than my jammies, which is my uniform most nights when we do the show.
Oh, you say that, and we're going to get somebody going, I'd like to see Jenny in her jammies, please. can we get Jenny in her jammies on the next episode?
Yeah, and all my Walmart sweatshirt glory here.
So lots of fun stuff coming to the EPP program. I promise to really make it worth your while. Lots of good stuff there. And it, like I said, it keeps our show going. So sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Should we kick off the show tonight with a letter from Ivan?
I think so.
It looks like a good one. Let's go there. Is this the animal or the stuffed animal sacrifice?
I believe it is.
It's a sacrifice.
Oh, that's great.
Who sings it? A sacrifice.
Elton John.
Sacrifice stuffed right? animals is to it? The world. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. Congratulations. You win a free Oreo cookie. Ivan writes in, Hi, Tony and Jenny. Hope you're having a great day so far. Been listening to all of these great stories from people, and I'm not going to lie, it's quite reassuring to hear someone experiencing similar phenomena. Anyway, let's get to the story. When I was a little boy, about 8 years old, I had a favorite toy, a stuffed black baby bear. He was my favorite friend at the time, along with my brother. I still swear to this day that he sometimes spoke to me. At that age, I was very fond of scary stories, and fortunately, I had a friend that was a few years older than me and was interested in witchcraft and ghosts. Basically, a whole lot. So he had some good stories to tell. She was weird as shit, is what I'm trying to say, and had told me that she wanted to come over to my house whenever my parents aren't home because she could then do a seance of some sort. Either her dad or her mom was at home at any given time, so she couldn't do it at home. To be honest, I thought it was a game of some sort, so That's why I said okay to it. If you're a kid, you don't know what seance is. You think it's like another version of Candyland. I got that new version of it. All right, let's do that. So that day, my parents left to visit my grandma and called her to come home and play at my house. She came over and told us she wanted to show us something. By us, I mean my brother and me. She grabbed my favorite toy and asked, "Do you still love him?" I nodded and immediately said, and immediately she went into the kitchen to get a knife. Well, that's disturbing. I looked at her, disturbed and scared, not really sure what was going on. Thought she was going to murder my brother and me. I felt relief when she passed us, but then I noticed the bear was still in her hand. I went into the darkest room in my house and sat on the wooden floor with the bear in the center of us three. Reaching into her pocket, she took out a piece of chalk, three little round black candles, and made a triangle, with each corner being in front of each person, also lighting the candles in each corner of it. She took the knife, without hesitation, stabs my bear, and rips his stomach, and babbling about some stuff, not sure what she was saying, which is strange that I don't remember that part, but remember everything else very vividly. A strong draft then came in the room, blowing the candles completely out. I almost cried a weird silence, then filled the room. It felt as if it was much darker. My brother and I were scared, yet she seemed unfazed. Now, I shit you not, I saw a blue translucent hand coming out of the wall trying to grab my brother's shoulder. I never screamed so loud in my life. As soon as I did that, it disappeared. I wanted to get out of that room so fast that when I opened the door, I hit my toe and broke my nail clean off. Blood all over the floor and my foot. I started crying and my friend came up to me and said, "You just couldn't keep your mouth shut, could you?" I left the house. Strange things kept happening in the house from that day on. Kept seeing this very tall woman with black hair and very strange legs, almost like they were facing backwards, but she never really came up to me. I only saw her in the corner of my eye. I don't know what was happening exactly, but I have a few more stories of my own and a few from my aunt, since she is living there now. So what do you make all that shit?
Well, I was curious on the sacrifice of the bear, if it wasn't so much that the bear had, you know, that something had to be sacrificed, or was it just more so to stir up the pain of seeing your favorite item ripped to shreds?
Well, that's an interesting thought, and you think about sacrifice and things, when you hear that being done in a ceremonial setting. Does it have so much to do with what the actual object is or the body is? Or does it have more so to do with what the emotional connection is between the object being, quote-unquote, sacrificed and the individual witnessing it?
See, I don't know. I think in this case it was more to stir up those emotions.
Sure.
But in a lot of cases, a lot of religions will sacrifice animals that, you know, were raised just for that purpose. And there's really no attachment there. It's not like seeing your beloved pet being sacrificed. This is a cow whose only purpose in life was to be sacrificed.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's different for different types of ceremonies. But it seemed how she made sure that Ivan still loved that bear before she tore it, knowing that was going to stir up some feelings.
Yeah. Very odd. Very odd situation. Never heard of a stuffed animal being sacrificed before.
No, but that might have been the thing to draw the most reaction.
In a very emotionally charged moment, maybe being needed for that moment in time. Interesting story.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll ever hear one like that again, but we may end up getting an influx of stories going, "I had a neighbor, too, that also sacrificed my stuffed bear."
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
You never know. Hey, would you like a free audio book of your choice? We are offering that to you with our partners over at Audible. Just go to audiblepodcast.com /realghost, and you get a free audiobook download of your choice. I love Audible. I've been using Audible years before we ever did this podcast. I have a nice library built up of books that I've downloaded over the years, and there's some great ones out there right now. Get your free audiobook when you go to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. More than 150,000 titles to choose from. Of course, plenty of ghost ones. Every genre, Audible has it covered. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. One that I recently got through, Deliver Us From Evil. And I have to say, this is one of those cases where the book better than the movie.
That happens a lot.
The movie is okay.
Oh, I'd rather listen to the book any day.
I do credit the movie because that got me to know about the book.
Okay.
And so it's not so bad. The movie wasn't bad, but the book, so much more in depth. So many more things to it. It's about demonic possession, exorcism, haunted houses, satanic rituals. For most people, this is the stuff of nightmares. It's horror movies, folklore, superstition, the stuff we talk about on our show, really. But for a New York City police sergeant, Ralph Sirachi, this was real stuff and very dangerous on the midnight patrol. He's a 16-year NYPD veteran. Ralph, he worked out of the 46th precinct in New York, South Bronx. But his other job, as he called it, the work, investigating cases of demonic possession and assessing exorcisms of humanity's most ancient and most dangerous foes. That is what's covered in Deliver Us From Evil, and you can get that full book for absolutely free when you go to audiblepodcast.com/realghost. I highly, highly, highly recommend doing that. A little gift from us. Check it out. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Get the book for free, or any book you like. If you don't want that one, maybe you already heard it, read it, whatever. There's, like I said, 150,000 titles to choose from. So you can't go wrong.
I'm kind of one of a classic girl. I rather read classics.
You like classics?
Mm-hmm.
What spooky classics do you like?
Ah, spooky classics?
Do you have any spooky classics?
No, not spooky classics.
You gotta have spooky. It's gotta be spooky. Well, what classics do you like?
I guess a little spooky. To Kill a Mockingbird's my favorite.
Okay, that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many on there. 150,000. It's like, you know, it's everything you could possibly want. New bestsellers, brand new books, everything you could possibly think of. It is there. Very. It's a great website. I love it. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Go get your free audiobook. On us, enjoy it, and it helps support our show and keep us on the air, so check that out. audiblepodcast.com/realghost. Claire writes, and hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm new to your podcast, and I live in Yorkshire in the UK. I love anything paranormal and have a couple of strange events happen to me. When I was a child, I grew up in a small council house in Lincolnshire, UK. Apart from occurrences where my dog used to sit at the bottom of the stairs looking upstairs and bark and growl at nothing, I had never seen or felt anything in the house until one day, walking past the living room, saw a tall man in a long black trench coat, long dark hair, big black muddy boots and black hat, stood right in the middle of the room, stared at him a while, unable to open my mouth to speak and try to work it out as if I was seeing things or not. After about a minute, I asked the man who he was, what he was doing in my house. He said nothing, just stood and stared at me. My sister, who stood in the doorway of the kitchen, asked me who I was talking to. I looked at her and pointed in the direction of the man and said, "There's a man in our living room." I turned to look back at him and he was gone. She didn't believe me, and since telling her, I didn't want to tell anyone else, till I had a very strange experience in my first house as a married woman. Something happened in that house that scared me and my husband to the core, and also scared the cats enough to make them hide under our beds for almost 3 days. After cooking dinner and sitting down to eat one night, we shut the cats out of the lounge while we ate and enjoyed our food. We heard what could only be described as complete destruction coming from the room next to our living room, and I mean destruction. There's no exaggeration when I say this. From outside the door, we could hear metal clanging together, glasses smashing, thumping on the wood flooring and walls. We heard what sounded like the solid wood sewing table flip over and the cats screeching. Both cats were meowing loudly and squealing as though their fur and tails were being pulled. We honestly thought that someone had broken in, and as I ran to the phone to call the police, my husband opened the door. Both cats flew out of the room. Hair stood on end and shot off up the stairs. Not a single thing in the room had moved. No breakages, no mess, nothing at all. Yet we both clearly heard the sound of glass smashing and things being thrown against the walls. The only thing out of place was a plastic grocery bag that we had put an empty plastic package and tin in. We had left this on the counter in the kitchen and tied the handles together in a double knot. I did this myself, and I know I did. The contents of the bag were on the kitchen floor, and the bag was untied and hanging on the handle in my husband's bicycle. When we found it, it was still swinging. The room was freezing cold. You could see your breath. Both I and my husband had to leave immediately. We didn't even finish our dinner. Just put our coats on and left. We slept with the light on for a few nights after, and both cats refused to leave from under our bed for 3 days. Still to this day, I get chills thinking about that night and couldn't wait to move out of that house because of it. I hated being alone in that house and always felt like I was being watched and followed. When we got our puppy, we would sometimes find him sitting in the corner of the destruction room, shaking. He would whine and pee himself right there in that corner. He's never once done this in our new house, thank God, as I've just spent thousands of pounds on new carpets. Sorry for the long email, but I wanted to share my experiences with you. Thank you for reading. Claire from Yorkshire, England.
Could it be that it's not so much the sound of their belongings thrashing around and then miraculously being in place when they open the door, as much as it maybe is just a residual sound of something else that happened in a previous time?
Like someone else's belongings being thrashed around?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. That would explain, I mean, because you have to, your mind goes to the process of, well, my God, I just heard all these things being thrown around.
Uh-huh.
What on earth was that? Are the cats really getting into it up there? Are they fighting? Are they having wild cat sex? What's going on?
Really?
Really?
Okay.
What? You never know.
Okay.
And are they throwing the suitcases around? But the more logical explanation for a fairly illogical situation would be that of what you just described of the, well, it really wasn't your belongings.
Yeah.
It was something else.
That happened before. Now, yeah. That doesn't necessarily explain the bag of essentially garbage that they had tied up that was still swinging on the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the coldness to the air, but I don't know. I just don't, for all the ghostly things we talk about, I just don't understand how a room full of items can sound like they're being thoroughly destroyed, and then you open the door and everything's back in its place, nothing's broken. So that's why I kind of went there with it.
Sure. Well, the swinging of the bag, you could kind of write that off as well as just the energy that's swinging it.
Okay.
Of everything, you know, it wasn't torn apart. The coldness, another energy thing. So, I go with you on the residual.
Okay.
But it's very troubling because you think things are going crazy in your attic.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thought because we have a lot of stories of that where it's like something, you know, is there raccoons up there? Or we think, you know, things have been torn apart, this and that. And it was just this ruckus. We go up there, there's nothing going on.
Yeah, this was in their living room even.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just really hard to, to justify. And it's so funny saying that considering what we talk about every day.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's a very interesting and like I said, logical for an illogical situation answer to the situation. So thank you for writing in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, please press the subscribe button. Lots of ways to get our show these days. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and now Spotify, if it's unlocked for you yet. That's the thing. Spotify now going to be carrying podcasts, at least over the next couple of months, that will start to become a norm on Spotify. And we are one of the few hand-selected podcasts by Spotify to be on the platform. So if you do use Spotify, keep watching your app for the podcast option, and you can find us on there. And you can also subscribe to us on there as well and find our show, download, and listen just like you would anywhere else. Just press the subscribe button when you see it. So pretty neat stuff.
Very cool.
Another cool place for you to find some ghost stories every single day. Vanessa writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm writing to you from beautiful Melbourne in Australia. I previously sent in a story about my experience with black magic in my home country, India, but I've not heard it on the air yet, so looking forward to that moment. I wanted to share with you and your listeners a story about one of my cousins who had a run-in with his best friend's ghost. I apologize in advance if the story is too long, so here we go. From now, let's name my cousin Craig for privacy purposes. I recently visited him in India, and I noticed he wore a few rosaries around his neck, and whenever I mentioned I wanted to go out for a night, he always refused to step outside the house. I found this incredibly odd because Craig usually loved to party and having fun and a bit of a daredevil on the bike in a crowded street of India, so it was definitely unusual behavior on his part. One day I asked him what was wrong and why he was so scared to go out at night. It took some convincing, but eventually he told me why. A couple of years ago, he and his best friends, four of them, were out and about as usual, hitting the local tea shop at 4 a.m. after their night shift. One day, they all noticed something wrong with one of the friends. Kept looking at the main road next to the shop, and apparently once he noticed a huge trailer truck in the distance, he walked over to the side of the main road and waited. When the truck came close, he jumped in front of it and committed suicide in front of all of his best friends. My cousin Craig was absolutely distraught for months. He finally managed to muster up the strength to go back to work and face his other friends for the first time since the incident. Craig told me it was extremely painful because he had to work right next to his dead friend's empty cubicle all day. When he got home that night, Craig noticed his dead friend standing by the apartment complex gate, clear as day, staring at him. Craig walked past him, shocked, but looked back. As soon as he looked back, the spirit told him, "Meet me on the roof now," and disappeared. Craig followed the stairs up to the apartment complex roof, and apparently he sat there for the rest of the night talking to the ghost. This became a regular thing. After a few months, the ghost started to taunt Craig to take his own life so they could be together forever. My cousin then realized that this ghost was truly not his friend, but a dark entity that meant to do him harm. He confided in his other two friends about this experience, and apparently my cousin was the only one who was seeing the ghost. My family approached our local priest for help and was given four blessed rosaries to wear around his neck. The priest also forbade him to leave his house after dark, and if he did, to always have his rosaries around his neck for protection. I hope you love this story, and I look forward to hearing what you think about this situation.
I'm glad your cousin wised up and realized what was really going on and that it wasn't his friend that was showing up.
It would be confusing at first, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him one bit for going up there on the roof thinking, okay, maybe it is a ghost of my friend.
Oh, sure.
But it is one of those many cases where we hear the stories of something that appears to be one thing, and a lot of folks would write off as, oh, it's harmless, it's just this, and then it turns out to be something very dark. And then you end up looking at all the situations again that you hear in a totally different light, going, what if?
Now, my question is, could this have been the case with the friend that died, that somebody he knew, he believed, was coming back and seeing after death and encouraging him to die as well? And then after he killed himself, then whatever was taunting him moved on to the next friend.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like it was a something caused the friend to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
drove him to it, going, do this, we can be together. Mm-hmm. And then bam, ba-bam, ba-bam, over and over and over.
Trying to just perpetually get people to kill themselves.
Would that break the chain when someone refuses of something like that, I wonder?
I don't know. I don't know the chain, or if it would just move on to the next friend.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
Well, I was curious about that, and the fact that he was so distraught, the cousin was so distraught after mm-hmm. the death, which anybody would be, for months, you know, he was obviously an easier target for something to prey upon him.
Be interesting to look into the history of what was going on around the friend at the time of his suicide, and if he had someone in the somewhat recent past that had done the same thing or something similar. And that would almost start to connect some of those dots.
Or just something plaguing him in general that may mm-hmm. have been paranormal.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the letter. 855-853-4802. And of course, you guys can write in and comment on any of our stories or have a conversation about them on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, in the forum section. You can chat about them, share your thoughts, your feelings, and just kind of hash it out. Raven writes in, hi, y'all. Am I doing better on my y'alls?
You are.
I feel like I've gotten it down pretty well.
It's coming more naturally to you.
Hi, y'all. And my A's are changing a bit, too.
That's not something I'm going to take responsibility for.
I honestly feel like since doing this show, I have lost a lot of my northern accent.
Why?
Well, just because I want to sound a little more not northern, I guess, to be more in the middle.
Okay.
If you will. Because northern people, when you hear someone say flag or flag,
mm-hmm.
we don't flag it from a northern standpoint as much as someone who doesn't say flag. Make sense?
No.
Other people in other parts of the country, when they hear a northern person say the word flag
mm-hmm.
or anything with the A like that, I'm like, oh my God, what is that? When we, in the northern part of the country, hear someone say flag, we don't really recognize it as being that different.
Okay.
We hear it almost identically. It was very hard for me to hear the difference.
Yeah.
Between flag and flag.
Okay.
It really was. But I do hear it now, just doing what we do.
Okay.
So I just kind of want to be more not, annoying anyone with my accent.
I'm not at all going to claim any responsibility for that change at all.
I completely blame you.
No, I'm not hiding my southern or my crazy, either one.
You can send your hate letters of northernness to Jenny at Real Ghost. No, it's just funny. It's just funny how that kind of slowly changes depending on where you're at. I don't blame you, because I kind of blame more so just I'm in the middle of the country now,
mm-hmm.
So just kind of you don't hear it every day. It kind of goes away.
It's a melting pot of accents.
And it's not you. It's just more so where we're at.
Well, thank you for not blaming me for you changing your accent.
I'll blame you off the air.
But fine.
On the air, I'll just... 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Have you ever changed any of your accent at all? Do you feel like you've adjusted at all? I mean, because Jenny from is grew up in Texas for...
East Texas. Which has its own accent altogether.
Okay.
When I first moved up here, I did everything I could to try and sound like all the other kids, because all they did was make fun of me. And I was super twangy. I was like Miranda really? Lambert twangy, because she grew up like 40 miles from me.
Sure.
And so that's what I sounded like. And mm-hmm. so I think over time, just being here, some of it's gone away, but it hasn't been on purpose. But I still say it. Mine is more things that you say down there that aren't necessarily said up here.
Like?
Colloquialism? Yes, that
okay.
word. You know, like no. I'll call...
Buggy?
A buggy. It's a grocery cart to everybody else, mm-hmm. but it's a buggy. Or, I'm fixing to do this, or I'm fixing to do that. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? When I first started saying that around
sure.
you.
Sure. Buggy, I remember going to a grocery store with you when we first started dating, and it was like, We don't have a child with us. Why do you want a buggy? Like, I knew the term buggy, but but to me it meant like a baby buggy. You know, I'm almost like picturing Ghostbusters 2 baby buggy, where it flies off into the night or rolls down the thing into the pile of slime. I didn't picture grocery cart, but now I'm kind of used to it. You know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting, the terminology. Here's the one from up north that I have that is very localized, and I've discovered is Wisconsin, and I've also learned is also somewhat New England-ish. Is bubbler.
Okay.
You know bubbler?
Water fountain.
Yes, exactly. And it was one of those things where I remember like just being a kid and even like going on class field trips sometimes, even like just slightly out of the area, like hitting Milwaukee wasn't used very frequently.
Uh-huh.
I remember like going to like a museum in Milwaukee as a kid going, where's the bubbler? Because that's all I knew how to call a water fountain. I mean, water fountain was not a term I knew.
Okay.
They're like, a what? The bubbler. Is there something wrong with you, kid? It's like, no, the drinking, you know. What? Are you drinking? No, I drink water, a bubbler. Yeah. But yeah, it's a very, very, very regional term.
That's funny.
I like that term.
Yeah.
Bubbler. It's kind of fun to say. Anyhow. Raven writes, and hi, y'all. Thanks for putting my earlier story about the haunted TV station on your podcast. For what it's worth, I agree with you, Tony, about the reflective surfaces and electronic equipment making that space more liable to be haunted. Maybe all the excessive wiring everywhere helps, too. I've worked in several TV stations by now, and most of them have had ghosts. I am one of those people that ghosts just find. I think that is a better explanation than anywhere being haunted. I'm not psychic. I can't talk to them. I just know when they're around and they know I know. So they come near me, if that makes sense. This runs in my family, and that is why I think the place I'm about to tell you about was so active. In 2000, I moved to Austin, and my sister and I got an apartment together. My niece was about 3 years old, and I was there to help my sister take care of her. This was right after the tech bubble had burst, so apartments were really hard to find in Austin. We bummed around with friends for a couple of months before we finally found an apartment we could afford. The complex was sort of old, run-down looking. It was the only choice. So we took it. Things got weird one day. That day, my niece was with her father, and my sister and I both had to work. We picked the keys up that morning, but planned to move in after I got off work that night at 10 p.m. I went by the apartment on my lunch break just to luxuriate in the fact that we finally had a place to live. This was around 6:30 p.m. The sun was just starting to set, but it wasn't quite dark. I was in the complete empty apartment in the master bathroom fixing my hair before I left to return to work. Before me was a large empty bedroom with the light off. The blinds on the windows were down, but I could see orange light from the setting sun shining through. The bedroom was dim but not completely dark. As I was looking in the mirror and brushing my hair, I saw a man walk behind me in the dark bedroom. He had shoulder-length blonde curly hair, a white t-shirt, and jeans on. I only saw him in profile. This man looked like he walked across the bedroom and out the door in the rest of the apartment. I just stared at my reflection and thought, oh shit. And I put away my brush and went off hunting to see if there was really a strange man somewhere in my apartment. Made myself check all the empty rooms and closets. Didn't expect to find anyone, and I didn't. The apartment was empty and the door was still locked. I went back to work knowing that our new apartment had a ghost and decided not to tell my sister. I didn't need to tell her, though. She noticed it soon enough. This apartment was on the second floor, and there was a flight of steps that led to the front door almost every night. I heard something running up and down those steps. I knew it wasn't actually a person, so I stopped freaking out about it, but I never enjoyed hearing it walking around. My sister confronted me one night as soon as I got home from work and asked me why I was acting so weird. I had no idea what she was talking about, and she told me that she had heard me unlock the door and come into the apartment about 9 p.m., I then walked across the living room and rattled the blinds on the doors that led to the balcony. The balcony was next to her bedroom door. Her bedroom was the one I saw the ghost in, too. Then she said I had walked to her door and just stood there. She and her boyfriend were in bed at the time, and they both saw the shadow of someone standing there under the door. After standing outside the door, which killed the mood, she said I had hit the door and then stomped out of the house without answering them or saying anything. Needless to say, this was not me. I explained to my sister that at 9 p.m. I had been in the middle of a newscast. The news didn't end till 10 p.m. I never got home until about 10:30 p.m. By this time, I was directing newscasts, so there was no way for me to run out in the middle of one. She really didn't want to believe me. After that, the weird stuff began to happen more often. I'm not sure of the order it all happened in, so I'll just tell you things that stood out. The closet in my bedroom had two fold-out wooden doors. After a few months, I noticed that these doors were always open. I would close them when I went to bed and wake up to see an open closet. This bugged me because I've always been afraid of closets. At first, I blamed this on my cats. I started trying the doors to shut so the cats couldn't open them. This made things worse. The doors started rattling and banging after I tied them like something inside the closet wanted out. I'd sit in my room at night and look at them and thinking, holy crap. It was not the cats because they would be sitting next to me, also staring at the closet. Eventually, stopped tying the doors shut because finding them open was less disturbing than watching the doors bang and rattle. I had a set of dragon statues on the dresser in my room. I came home one day to find them all knocked to the floor. Several of them were chipped or broken, even though the dresser wasn't tall and the floor was carpeted. I blamed this on my cats. Later, I had a set of comic book action figures set up on different shelves. This was a shelf that my cats couldn't easily reach. I also came home one day to find them all knocked down. Every single action figure was broken. This was harder to blame on the cats because these were not plaster or ceramic like my dragons. They shouldn't have been broken just from falling to the floor. A funny thing also happened that involved my things being knocked down. I had a bookshelf over my head. One night I came home to find an odd collection of books had fallen down under the floor onto my bed. It wasn't all the books. Some were still on the shelf exactly as I had left them. What made this odd was the nature of the fallen books. Every single one of them had ghost or haunted or spirit in the title. Every book on that shelf that mentioned anything paranormal had fallen off. I admit that I laughed when I noticed that. Ghostly pranks aside, the apartment had a dark feel to it after a while. During this time, a custody battle was ongoing over my niece, so part of the tension might have been caused by that. My poor niece had constant nightmares and night terrors. These were terrible. She'd be screaming, and it was like she wasn't awake, even though her eyes were open. It took an hour or more to calm her after these episodes. She was only 3 and couldn't tell us what was scaring her. I'm not sure if this was caused by the haunting or if the poor baby was just having normal bad dreams. However, I had a few bad dreams that I know weren't natural. I know they didn't come from me. These dreams always involve something walking down the hallway towards my room. I heard every slow step and then a rustling sound as it brushed against my closed door. I could hear it taking deep, raspy breaths. Then it would start banging my door and eventually the door would start to break open. I was terrified by these dreams. There was always a sense of menace and evil that was out of proportion to what was actually happening. When one would start, I knew it was a dream, but I couldn't wake up. I was forced to endure the walking and the banging until I would be so scared that I couldn't stand it. And only then would I wake up. Often I would endure false awakenings after these dreams, so I would dream I was awake and then it would start up again. These would scare me more because I couldn't tell if it was real or not until I finally woke up for real. I was afraid to sleep because I didn't want to have this dream. I had it maybe 6 or 7 times and it always was the same. My sister also had some odd things happen to her. She told me that she had seen some weird people in her room. She saw a man, a and a goth girl creeping around in there. I never got her to describe them better than that, so I'm not sure if more happened involving these people. One night, she had a nightmare that something was trying to steal my niece away. She woke up to see my niece screaming as she was being pulled off the bed and they were all sleeping in. My sister grabbed her daughter and felt something pulling from under the bed. It kept pulling my niece and my sister and they almost fell off the bed. My sister's boyfriend woke up and grabbed them both and pulled them up. He then got a flashlight and looked under the bed and nothing was there. I have no explanation at all for that. It wasn't a nightmare because he felt the pulling too. Another weird thing happened that involved my niece. I would see something that looked exactly like her when she wasn't there. A little blonde girl would be seen in the house doing normal kid things. It never seemed weird until you remembered my niece was at her dad's house. Then my sister and I would run back to wherever we had seen her and nothing was there. I'm not sure what was going on in that apartment. The first ghost I saw did not have a sense of menace, but later things did. Maybe there was more than one paranormal critter hanging out there. There wasn't a super scary event that had us leaving in the middle of the night or anything. We just endured the weirdness and eventually moved after a couple of years. I have more stories, but I'll tell them another time. I hope you enjoyed this one, Raven.
I think my three-year-old being pulled off the bed by something I couldn't see, and then it being so strong that it pulled me too, I think would qualify as something super scary that would have me running from the apartment.
Yeah, that's not exactly the, hey, look at that. It's just a little ghost girl running around playing with crayons.
Yeah.
It's something else. And I almost wonder if, you know, when you see those, when you have stories like this where it almost seems confusing, you wonder, are there more than one thing going on here? I mean, and there's the possibility of that, of there being more than one entity haunting the place. But when you have one that's somewhat malicious and somewhat luring in, you have to wonder, you know, if the little girl that looks innocent is a decoy.
Yeah.
Essentially for you to try and interact with it, then take it further.
It just sounded like there was too much going on that was so disconnected from everything else that I think there was something dark going on there.
Yeah, I would have to agree there. I really do agree with that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost story with us, we'd love to hear it. Let's go to a caller, Janet. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Janet Johnson. I'm calling from Chesney, South Carolina. My story is about a lady that I saved in a fire. I don't really know where to begin, besides the fact that at the point in time, this was in 2005, I was very sick with an eating disorder, and I was only about 85 pounds. And so we had stopped at a store, and right beside this store, there was a plant nursery that I had bought plants from over the years. And it was an elderly lady that ran it and owned it. And so as me and my friend stopped at the store, I could see the lady standing there beside a mulch pile, fertilizer and things like that, and she was literally on fire, her hair, her body, clothes, everything. So I ran, and like I said, I was very sick. The only thing I can figure is God gave me the strength to run. I ran, and I tried to talk to her to get her to roll down on the ground. But she was just in a state of hysteria. So anyway, I wrapped my arms around her, and the high that there was a tree that had limbs hanging over, and the limbs and leaves were on fire, and they were dripping, like literally dripping, falling down on my arms and her. And so I led her back into her plant nursery. And there was nobody there but her. And she kept telling me, please call my husband, call my husband. And so I got the phone. I didn't know where it was. She just, you know, told me. And so she told me the number. I dialed it, got him on the phone, and he was on his way up there. Well, in the meantime, I'm, you know, trying to talk to her, and I'm looking for, you know, wet towels, water, hose pipe, anything to try to cool her off, because she had really, really bad, bad burns, third-degree burns, as a matter of fact. And as I turned around to look, there was a young man, and he never said a word. He was dressed in all dark blue navy pants and a dark blue navy shirt. And he had dark hair, and he was from a different ethnic background, you know, because he had darker skin. But he never spoke a word, like I said. And so I looked at him thinking he worked there, because I didn't know. And I was just like, you know, get me a hose pipe, get me some water, 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 towels, water. And so he gives me several towels, and there was a big plant bucket, and it was full of water. So I just kept soaking the towels in them, and I was just wrapping them around Miss So's body. And so after we had done that, by the time we had finished, her husband had got there, and we were all talking. So long story short, we were going out of the gate. Okay, well, as we got out to the gate, my cousin was a paramedic, so he was, you know, arriving in the ambulance. And so as we got out, I got in the ambulance, you know, with my uncle, I mean my cousin, excuse me, and we were suctioning her lungs out, and she was just in agony, and we were waiting on the helicopter to come and transport her to Augusta Burn Center in Georgia. And so I was asking her if I could pray with her, you know, in the ambulance, and she said, oh, God, please, oh, God, please, yes, yes. And so as my cousin Robert and the other EMT was working on her, and they gave her a good shot of morphine, and then she, you know, passed out, thank the Lord, because I couldn't imagine that kind of agony. So after Regional One landed and flew her out, her son was leaving in his truck to go to the hospital, because they were going to stabilize her at our local hospital here first. So he and I had never met. And he was just like, thank you so much. And I said, where did the guy go that was with me, that helped me? And I said, did he work here? Or, you know, I said, must have been a worker. And her husband, Joey, says, no, hon. He says, we don't have anybody that works for us. This is family ran. He said, it's all family, my sister, myself, my dad, my mom. And, you know, he is probably about my age. So I was just looking really strange, like, okay, well, I said, well, maybe he went out the back gate. Is there a back gate? And he said, no, there's only one way in and one way out. And so I was looking like, oh, my gosh, did God just send an angel to help me? Because I was really scared, too, because nobody else was stopping. Everybody stopped. They were just looking and gawking and gazing, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And I guess because me being a firefighter, it was my instinct. And for the fact that I, you know, care about humanity, I just couldn't let her stay over there, you know, like everybody else was just standing back watching. I couldn't do that. So anyway, long story short, she died in the burn center 5.5 weeks later. But I met two wonderful friends out of this tragedy, which is her son, Joey, and his wife, Karen. And turns out we have a lot in common. We have kept in touch over the years. They live in my community, basically. But I just wanted to share this with you all because I love the show. I do believe in angels. And you never know what shape, form that they're going to come in. And I just do believe that God sent me an angel that day, you know, to try to help me and calm me down because just the way things worked out. But anyway, I've got a lot more stories. My mom has stories, too, so we'll call in at another time. But I just really appreciate the show. I love it. I love you guys. You do such a good job. And if it weren't for you all, my days would be so boring because I listen to the show while I'm doing my morning cleaning. And even whenever I lay down to take a nap or I'm going to sleep, I'll turn the show back on. Sometimes I'll listen to the same shows over and over. But anyway, I'm not going to hold up any more of your time. I hope that you get a chance to play this, and I'll call back with some more. God bless you guys, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Janet, thanks for calling in and sharing your story and those kind words. That's very nice of you. You have to wonder sometimes about guardian angels and such. And why is it that they're able to show themselves in such clarity to others in times of strife, but then the rest of the time that they're just kind of there guarding, no one knows they exist? Are they, and do they build up, you know, a certain strength to be expelled at one time? You know, or is it just an on and off thing and they know, like, when it's appropriate to do it or not? Or what is the process there?
Here's my thought on that. I think it may be more so using the energy that's available. There's a lot of energy, good and bad, when something like that's going on. You have the bad energy of what the poor lady was going through, and the, I'll call it good energy, but the energy of Janet jumping into action.
Yeah.
And what she was feeling. All of that, I think, would be enough to help anything manifest that was going to be there to help the situation.
Is it feeding off of all the energy that's around, you think?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And that's why in times of strife, you probably have these angels that can manifest easier.
Because there's so much going on around.
That, and maybe they realize now's not the time to be iffy about whether I'm here or not. I need to be 100% here to help. Otherwise, it may not be any help at all.
You make everything make sense?
I don't know. That's just how I figure things out.
You know, I mean, honestly, that is something that makes a lot of sense. Well, it really does.
Someday we'll find out the answer, but we won't be able to share it on the show.
Oh, we will. We'll just like start like screwing with someone else's podcast with the EVPs. It's like, here's the answers, everyone.
You'll be just talking over whatever podcast host.
Is that Tony and Jenny that are showing up? I thought they're dead. They are. We're back, bitches. Oh, they cursed. That's how we know it's them. Let's go to Nikki. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Nikki. I have a, I don't know if it's like a ghost story, but anyway, my boyfriend and I decided to take a little trip to Chicago for a getaway, and we decided to stay at the Congress Plaza Hotel. I don't know if you guys know anything about that, but it's supposedly haunted, and we had a few drinks in our hotel room, just the two of us, and we decided to go wander around and investigate. It's an extremely large hotel. It's very, very big. It's on the Magnificent Mile. It's really pretty if you guys have ever been there. But so we were exploring, and we found this, it was this huge room. It was like a ballroom, I think. But the way that we found it, it was like through this door that looked like a janitor's closet. We really weren't supposed to be where we were, but with having a few beers and us, we really didn't care. We were just going to go exploring, and if we got kicked out of where we were at, it was no big deal. So, but anyway, we had it on video, and I walked in the room, and I had the flashlight, and it was really dark, so I couldn't see anything. And I told my boyfriend, I'm like, you have to come in and see this. It's gorgeous. And he just said, no, I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there. Anyway, so then we left, and later on we were going over our videotape. And after he says, I'm not going in there, you can hear somebody say, okay, in the videotape. So it was really kind of neat how we captured that. I can send that to you if you guys would like to see that. And then I have one more short story. We lived in this small one-bedroom apartment at the time, my boyfriend and our son. He was about two at the time, and our bathroom was in the bedroom. So Nash, our son, was pointing into the bathroom, and he was, like, jibber-jabbering. And I thought, okay, you know, no big deal. He just kind of does it a lot. So I didn't really think too much of it. But it was kind of weird how he was, like, having conversation with the air as he was pointing into the bathroom. And about 30 seconds after that, one of Nash's shoes fell out of the closet. I had them sitting on a shelf, on the top shelf of the closet, which was pushed all the way back to the wall. So there was really no way that the shoe could have just randomly fallen onto the floor. It was all the way in the back of the closet. So I thought, okay, that's really strange. And then about, you know, a few seconds after the shoe fell, I had a picture of Nash in our dresser mirror, kind of, you know, in the corner of it. Not in a frame, just, you know, a picture by itself pushed into the mirror. And the picture, like, fell off of the mirror. And I just thought, okay, that's it. This is weird. So, you know, then I just kind of brushed it off and thought, okay, we have a ghost in here. And it was just kind of one of those things, you know, that I wanted to share with you guys. But that's all I have right now. I'm sure I can, you know, remember some more coming up, but I'm a bit nervous, if you can't tell. So I am an EPP. I really love your guys' show. I randomly found it. I was looking up stuff on The Conjuring, and that's how I found you guys, and I've been listening ever since. So anyway, have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story. And we are familiar with Chicago. I have not been to that hotel.
No, that would be fun.
Can we stay there? Would you stay there? Would you want to stay there? Would you refuse to stay there?
Are you going to keep asking questions?
Yes.
I don't know. It depends on how I feel when we get there.
You have to book this stuff.
I know. But if I walk in and I'm just overwhelmed with creepiness, I'm not going to be able to sleep, and that's not going to be anybody's benefit.
You have to go find the La Quinta down the road then, if it's if you're just not feeling it.
Yeah.
But no, it will be awesome to go check that out. There's a lot of interesting things on the Miracle Mile. We went there last year and got a chance to kind of walk around and see some stuff. It was a great time.
Yeah, it actually was.
Eataly is my favorite place down there.
It's your favorite place anywhere.
It's an amazing, it's like a grocery store beyond grocery stores.
And you can graze from one end of it to the other.
You really can. And they have everything in there. It's just an amazing, if you like food, it's a great store. And it's down there on the Miracle or Millennium Mile or whatever.
Magnificent Mile.
Mm-hmm. They've named it so many things over the years. But I would try it.
Okay.
I would stay there.
Yeah.
Although I don't feel that you would.
I don't know.
Do you get any vibes when we walked around downtown Chicago? I mean, there's a lot of history there, obviously. I mean, it's all like fairly modernized and everything, but the land itself has seen a lot that's been just kind of revitalized over the years. When we were there, did you feel anything interesting?
Not really.
It just kind of felt like New York to me.
Yeah, it felt like New York to me. The what is it, the water tower? Down there, the old stone tower that's...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's right by the, like the Hershey's place, and there's another chocolate place, like, I think it's like a Godiva store or something right there.
That kind of had a different feel to it, but nothing scary.
And that was significant to the Chicago Fire.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Which obviously was not such a good situation.
Yeah.
But that was an older piece of the puzzle of downtown Chicago.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some interesting things down there.
Mm-hmm.
We should go explore that more, like with a paranormal mindset.
I would love that.
And looking at some of the history, because we were there, honestly, we were in the area for a funeral, but we had like a couple hours to kind of wander around. But it'd be interesting to kind of pre-plan a little bit more about looking at some of the area. But interesting stuff. A very fun place. If you like the show, please support us. Keep us on the air. Sign up to become an EPP Extra Podcast person on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all the bonus episodes, bonus video stuff, all sorts of really great extras just for being an EPP and the satisfaction of knowing that you're keeping our show on the air. $5 a month is all it is. Online, realghoststoriesonline.com. is where you go to do that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.